This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects us all, but most of us don't understand, presented in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. So let's get to it. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. It's that week where we're all going to be stuffing ourselves to the gills, and some of us are going to brave the crowds at Black Friday sales, getting those electronic devices that we're all so interested in. And that's why I'm excited about this episode, because we're talking to Jen Kaltreiter, the head of the Mozilla Foundation's Privacy Not Included group. You can find them at privacynotincluded.org. And what they do is they evaluate the privacy functions on the devices and apps that we get to do our digital lives in the world. And this year, it's a little bit more depressing than it was last year or the year before that, and they've been doing it for a while because things aren't getting better when it comes to privacy. And in fact, 2 years ago when we did our report on this, Meta was the one that was at the top of being the worst for privacy. And since then, things have changed. Meta is still no better at providing privacy in its products. But Apple and Google have surpassed it, according to Jen, which we will get into in this discussion. But Amazon in particular is getting worse. Its products are really insecure, but there are things you can do to fix it. And Jen's organization, they provide that information for you. So without any further ado, let's jump into this discussion with Jen Kaltreiter from Privacy Not Included.
Hello.
Hello, Jen.
How are you?
I'm good. I've been really excited to be able to talk to you again. I missed you last year. I guess you got kind of busy. I've got very excited to do this again this year because I think what you've got is a great service and really helped me with my own personal security, which is already dialed up to 11 on a regular basis.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I took a look at the site for this year. And I was comparing it to the report that I did 2 years ago when we first talked. And that year, Meta turned out to have the worst products possible.
Yes.
And this year, it looks like Amazon has replaced them.
Well, I mean, worst is relative, right? Like, I mean, I know that when we go, we actually still have to finish our Meta review. We put out our cars and privacy research earlier this year, back in September. And it blew up, and it took us longer than we had anticipated. And then it got a lot of attention, and it put us behind on getting the holiday guide done. So we're still kind of finishing off some of our final products. And Meta's one that we haven't reviewed, and for the most part, because they're bad. You know, it's like, yeah, we know they're bad. We'll get the review refreshed, but not a lot is going to change. They're bad. They just suck. But Amazon is catching up, and, you know, Amazon's one of those tricky companies where, you know, a lot of times they say all the right things in the privacy policy, but you just have to trust that they're implementing them. And in that trust part, that is why we added our track record rating that we have. And so what you see, because I call it the Facebook criteria that we have, because they'll say all the right things in the privacy policy, but they don't abide by them or they don't respect them. And then they get nailed. And Amazon's finally kind of getting really called out for some of their very bad privacy things. So it feels good to be able to actually ding them. This is actually also the first year that we've dinged Google officially.
Really? Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
I hadn't really looked too much at Google, but I did have some questions about that. But before we go on to that, let's finish up with Alexa, because, you know, the big news out of that is that Amazon is laying off a lot of the people in their Alexa division. Now, is that good news or is that bad news?
It's interesting news, right? And I'm not as involved in this, but I know that we're about ready to launch a petition. I believe it's coming out tomorrow, because they hired a new director of devices at Amazon. And we want to put pressure on that guy. It's like, look, you're coming in. You're taking over a ship with a lot of holes in it. How about you do a better job with privacy right from the start? And so we're gonna put out a petition tomorrow to ask for Amazon to do better, to ask the new guy coming into Amazon to do better, because I think what's happening over there is interesting. I don't know all the details of what's happening. I'm not that much of an industry insider, but the fact that they're bringing in a new head of their devices, like laying off people from Alexa, it's interesting to see what that means. I don't know. I'm hopeful that it could mean change for the good, but I'm also having seen how privacy has gone these past, however, 6 or 7 years since we started doing this in 2017. I'm not going to hold my breath that they're going to suddenly get better at privacy.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if these big guys, Meta, Amazon, Google, are getting some sort of level of fatigue at being beaten up over privacy issues and are just saying, you know, screw it. We're just not going to do it anymore.
Do what? Like do the
well,
the,
actually be serious about privacy.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't have the big corporate mentality of like make money at all costs. So it's really hard for me to get in the heads of these people. But data is just getting more valuable. The ways that the things that can collect it are getting much better at collecting data. I mean, this year, you know, we discovered in our Bose headphone review that they say they can collect your head movements from your headphones, and they could potentially monetize. They can potentially sell that data. And you're just like, it's our headphones, people. Like, I don't like, do my headphones need to know when I'm nodding and when I'm shaking and then potentially sell that data? Because one of the things that I'm seeing so much more of in all the privacy policies I review is this word inferences. The inference word, it just keeps popping up more and more and more. And these companies collect all this data not to just have it on you, but to make these inferences about us. And they go specific to what they're inferring about us, like our intelligence, our abilities, our predispositions, you know. And I don't know about you, but I don't need a company like an Amazon or a Google or the car companies we reviewed trying to determine my intelligence and then based on that target me with various ads or allow other people to target me with ads. That's just too much.
Yeah, there was an article that came out today on Wired that, because it's one of the things I keep pushing on people, is, you know, really, your security, your privacy is your own responsibility, because corporations are really not going to do anything about it. But this article said it would be nice if it could be our responsibility, but there is just so much data being collected that no one really has any idea what's going on. And AI is making it even worse, because AI is just scraping every bit of data. So
absolutely. Yeah, it's insane. And I mean, I read privacy policies for a living. I'm, you know, at the end of the year, I've read hundreds of privacy policies at this point, and I'm exhausted. Like, consumers,
God bless you,
can't do this, right? Like, they can't sit around and oh, you know, Amazon updated their children's privacy policy for their Fire tablets, you know, not the one for their, you know, their Alexa devices, but you know, I better go reread that. Like, Amazon has many privacy policies, Google has many privacy policies, and then there's the privacy policies for the apps and your car and every device in your house. And consumers can't keep up with that. They just can't. It's too much. I can't keep up with it, and it's my job.
Is there any chance that the legislation or regulations that are coming through are going to simplify that for people at all?
Well, there was a proposed federal privacy law that's kind of sitting on a shelf now. I haven't read it, so I don't know exactly how good it is, but it's a start. You know, I don't know. If most people don't know, the U.S. doesn't have a strong consumer-focused federal privacy law. We don't have any federal privacy law other than, like, COPPA, I guess, the children's privacy law. And that's a huge problem. And we saw this with our cars. You know, every single car brand that we reviewed failed. They all earned our privacy not included warning label. And they were just blatantly bad. You know, Nissan and Kia talking about how they can collect information on your sex life. And every car is selling, almost every car company is selling your data. And they're collecting so much of it. It's just insane. And people were asking me, well, what can I do? And I could tell Band-Aids, don't download the app, you know, don't use the SiriusXM service or little things that aren't really going to make a ton of difference. But what matters is, you know, I was telling people, get mad and call anybody, you know, that's elected that can make a regulation to push for a stronger privacy law, because that's what we need. Europe has GDPR. It's imperfect, but it's better. It guarantees European rights that we don't have. You know, California's kind of the standard. They have their CCPA law that is better, but it still only protects Californians, and even then it's not perfect.
I want to talk a little bit about cars again, but you mentioned Google and that you're coming down hard on them. And yeah, you know, my wife has a Fitbit, an older one, and I'm thinking about getting her a new one, and I saw your reviews on that and I went, oh crap. But
yeah,
I'm just wondering, did the acquisition Google made of Fitbit make them less secure, or were they always that bad?
Well, security is different than privacy, right? Like, Google's pretty good on security.
I'm using the wrong term. Was Fitbit always bad on privacy, or did the acquisition of Google make it worse?
Yeah, Fitbit wasn't terrible at privacy. They weren't great, but they weren't bad. We do give them our privacy not included warning label this year because of the fact that any new account that you set up with Fitbit now requires a Google login. And so you can't not give Google your data now if you get a new Fitbit or set up a new Fitbit account. I think if you're grandfathered in, if you already have a Fitbit account on some of the older devices, but like the new Fitbit Charge 6, it requires a Google account. The Google Pixel Watch 2 that's out requires a Google account. And it's kind of awkward because you have to have the Fitbit app and the Google account. And so you're sharing with Fitbit and with Google, and Google's made promises that they won't use health data. It was part of the sale when the EU regulators require that no health data would be used for 10 years, but they're already kind of mushing things together. And that line is starting to get more and more blurred about what's going to become of the data that Fitbit can collect now that you're required to have a Google account for new accounts, new devices when you sign up. And so we do ding them this year for that, because your health data kind of slowly working its way into Google's hands is a concern. Much like iRobot was one of our better companies. They were on our best of list. Amazon's buying them. That deal could go through as soon as next February, I think, is what the date I saw, that is the soonest it could go through. Amazon maps your home. I mean, iRobot maps your home, but they've been good. They've been good at like guaranteeing people and rights to the access to their data, delete their data, not monetizing some of that very personal data. But I don't trust that Amazon won't do that.
Yeah. Okay. And Google overall, is the push for Google to fix the problems of Bard actually causing a bigger problem with privacy, because they just need so much more data to make it work?
You know, we're going to review AIs next year, so I don't want to speak too knowledgeably about AIs until I've had a chance to really sit and review them. Ton has been written. But the thing that we saw with Google is, I mean, they collect an insane amount of information on us, right? Like, we all know that going in.
Yeah.
And of course they say, oh, we don't sell it, but why would they? I mean, they're the big guy, you know, they're the one that other people pay to access the data to send you ads. And they do, you know, guarantee everybody the right to delete it. You know, they're good at that. They're good at security, but their track record just keeps getting worse and worse. And that was kind of there were a couple of things in their privacy policy that kind of pushed it over the edge for us this year. One was the fact that they say that they can use publicly available information to train their AIs, but they don't specify what publicly available is very clearly. And so, you know, you think if you work for a small nonprofit and you put together a list of major donors that you want to target and a Google Doc, and you accidentally make that a public document and share it, instead of making it a private document, is that public information that can be used to train AI, their AIs, because it's in a public Google Doc? People might not expect that that's the case. And you know, we accidentally set our settings to public when we want them to be private all the time. And so it raised a flag. They also said that they were sharing some, giving people outside companies, third-party companies, access to cookies and other data to track you through them, which raised a flag. And then their track record is just, they just keep getting lots and lots of fines all around the world for privacy violations. And so, yeah.
The cost of doing business, I guess. So you mentioned cars that no car passed your test. Which I saw that coming because I started reading the agreements that people are making with these cars. A couple of friends of mine have bought Teslas, which I have all kinds of emotional and ethical issues about dealing with anything with Elon Musk. But when I read it, I came to this realization: it's not specifically stated in them, but essentially it says you no longer own this car. You are paying us for the right to use it. And
yeah,
because every car is collecting so much data on you. It makes me want to go out and buy a Volkswagen Bug from 1952.
Me too. I just don't know how to fix it when it breaks down or find a part for it when it breaks down. Yeah, the cars were interesting, and Tesla is kind of a unique case because we read privacy policies for 25 car brands, everything from Volkswagen to Mercedes, Ford to Nissan, Kia, and Tesla. And Tesla's privacy policy was the one that looked most like a tech company's privacy policy as opposed to a car company's privacy policy. And by that, I mean, it looked like it had been written by very slick lawyers that were good at writing privacy policies that didn't tell you enough. You left you with more questions than answers. Whereas the car company privacy policies were pretty blatantly like, hey, we're collecting as much data on you as we can, your genetic information, your sex life, your biometric, it's all up for grabs. And yeah, we're probably going to sell it. We're going to share it for third party. We're going to use it in a lot of ways. You know, it was like they were completely like just like they hadn't considered privacy as something people would care about or that anybody would read these privacy policies. And Tesla's was a little different. It still wasn't great, but you could tell it was written more like a tech company's privacy policy to make you wonder if they actually cared about privacy as opposed to the car companies where it was very obvious that they didn't.
Yeah. I actually saw a car for sale nearby. It was a 1972 Porsche. I'm thinking, and the price was right. I'm going, you know, there's absolutely no internet technology in that car. That would make a really attractive car to buy right now.
It would, although I'm afraid that the money you'd invest to try and keep it running and try and find those parts might counterbalance the privacy protections. And the point, right? Like, that's the point. People shouldn't have to choose between their privacy and going in the poorhouse or their privacy and not having access to safety features that can help them, you know, protect them. You know, backup cameras are a joy. Yeah. They're great, but, you know, but having all the data collected and not being able to turn off the data collection but keep the safety features in cars or any other product is a big problem.
And yet, I read an article a couple of weeks ago that said the average cost for repairing a Tesla is $20,000. So between that and having to find the parts for the Porsche, I think I'd probably go with the Porsche.
Yeah, absolutely go with the Porsche. And it looks cooler. Well, in my mind, it looks cooler. I don't know. I think it looks cooler than a Tesla, but, you know.
Is there anything anyone can do in buying a new car that can increase the level of privacy, or are we just stuck with these things?
I mean, I can give some tips that feel like band-aids at best, like don't download the app, don't connect your phone if you can't help it, delete, call and have your data or go online and ask them to delete your data if they'll let you. I mean, we actually had to buy a new Mazda in the midst of this, and I went online after the process to ask them to delete my data, and the first thing they asked me was what state I lived in, and when they found out I lived in Vermont and not a place like California where I have a right to have my data deleted. They told me to basically go to hell, and they weren't going to delete my data. And so I can tell people little things that they can do, but I'm not convinced that they're actually going to do enough to really help with privacy, which is why I tell people to get mad that this is the situation it's in, that you can't buy a new car these days. And it's not just smart cars. You know, people are like, oh, smart cars are bad. I'm like, well, every car is a smart car now. Every car that comes off the line has tons of sensors to track you, where you're going, how fast you're going, what the weather's like, how many people are in the car, the microphones in the car, the cameras in the car and outside the car, the connected services. You know, you listen to SiriusXM radio, they're going to get data from your car. And so it's to the point where you could do some little things that are going to maybe be more of an inconvenience than anything. And it's probably not going to protect your privacy as much as you hope. Which is why I tell people get mad and call your elected officials and yell at them. I also heard a number of stories in the process of doing the car research of people that went in to buy cars, and the car salespeople really pushed them to download and install the app. One story told from a coworker said that the salesperson admitted that her commission was based on whether she could get the person to download and install the app and accept all terms and conditions. Wow. Another person told me a story about how a friend of theirs wasn't allowed to drive off the lot until they downloaded and installed the app. And so, like, there's a lot of pressure out there to get people to do these things. And so you can do them. I mean, I didn't download. We don't have the app, you know, but it's still probably not going to protect you as much as you want. And this is where the strong federal consumer privacy law comes in, and it's much needed.
There was a book that came out earlier this year, and I'm full disclosure, I helped edit it. It's called Data for All. And it's by a data scientist who essentially explained how all this data gets collected. And his end point is that we should all be recompensed for the amount of data that's taken on us. And in some cases, some people like me who gave up so much data in the beginning, that could be a fairly significant chunk of change, like up to $500 a month. That could come in, that would not seriously hurt the bottom line of these corporations. But one of the things he made a bullet list of a trip he took from his home to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to go to a football game with his wife. And it's five pages of single space bulleted items of every data point that gets collected on him during that trip. And I'm just wondering if people actually could understand, if people said, okay, look, I will give up all this data, but you have to pay me for it. Do you think that might affect the privacy conditions?
It's an interesting question. You know what, Meta's charging people in Europe like $10 a month to have like more private Facebook, which seems like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like much, you know, like, okay. Yeah. But here's an interesting idea that some people here at Mozilla have talked about and worked on. What if the law was every piece of data there's a data collection police, whatever, it's nonprofit or whatever, and all your data is there. It sits there. And you own everything, all the data that's collected, it goes into this black box somewhere that nobody else has control over but you. And then you can decide, okay, I'll let people know X, Y, and Z about me in exchange for this amount of money. Yeah. Or I'll let people know X, Y, and Z about me in exchange for free access to this product. But I have control over that, and I can revoke it at any time. I can change it at any time, and they'll pay me to access that data, but I own it.
And that's exactly what he's suggesting.
Yeah, that kind of model seems like, well, duh, like your data should be owned by you and you should have absolute control over it. And if we did it that way, you know, it'd be very interesting to see how differently our society would look in terms of not just advertising, but the tracking. You know, I think about government and law enforcement tracking a lot in a world that not just in the U.S., but all over the world has, you know, some pretty scary authoritarian governments that are harmful, you know, and what would that look like if we owned and controlled our own data? And I think that's the model I think we should go towards, but
that'd be great.
Good luck with it.
Yeah, well, you know, it might happen if there's enough push, but let's see if we can end on a high note, because I was looking through the products, as I said, and it looks like Apple is still a good idea compared to everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, Apple is still seemingly, on paper at least, better than Google, Amazon, Meta. But those bars are so low, you know. Apple, Apple is better, you know. They, but Apple isn't perfect, you know. Yeah. They still get in trouble from time to time. They're still looking for ways to make more money off of us. They have their walled gardens that are very, you know, once you're in, they're hard to get out. That isn't necessarily a privacy issue, but it is kind of a consumer protection issue, especially when you think about the cost. I mean, yeah. Apple products aren't cheap and not everybody can afford them. So, yeah, I mean, if you're, but, you know, Apple iPhones are generally going to be okay-ish for a phone. The Apple Watch is generally going to be okay-ish for a fitness tracker. I have a Garmin because I like Garmin, you know, like they're a company that's collecting a lot of data, but they do a good job of not necessarily monetizing it or sharing it, selling it, and protecting it. So there are other options. So Apple's not bad, but I wouldn't call them great either.
Yeah. Okay, so let's wrap this up with what people can do. You go to privacynotincluded.com. Oh, excuse me, privacynotincluded.org. Yeah. And you can look up all these products. You can do a search for them, all this. How should people use this guide so they can make themselves reasonably more secure?
Yeah, well, I think one easy way is if you're a parent or shopping for a young person this year, like looking at toys. Toys are like, they run the gamut of how much data they can collect. And we saw this year both Amazon's and Microsoft Xbox get huge fines from the FTC for violating children's privacy laws. And you probably don't want to give a gift that's going to violate your kid or your grandkid or your nephew's privacy laws. So maybe that's a good place to start, being like, if I'm giving a gift to a child, you know, buy a book. I'm a big fan of books, but there are some other ones that might do a better job. But also just, it doesn't hurt just to, like, I don't download an app now unless I read the privacy policy. I say that with the caveat that I read privacy policies for a living, so I know what to look for. And I hesitate to tell people to read privacy policies because I know how awful they are, but it's not a bad thing to look, just hop in a privacy policy, or we've done it for you. You can do it at privacynotincluded.org. And look and say, okay, what data is collected? Does that make sense? Does it make sense that this kid's toy wants to know my precise location all the time? That might raise an eyebrow. Look and see how are they selling it? Are they sharing it? Do you have the right to delete that data? Do they have a good track record of protecting and respecting it? Like, those are all questions that I would love for people to ask. And then we try and make it easy for you. You can just go and read our reviews. We put the relevant pieces of privacy policy in there, so you don't have to read the whole thing. We have a creepometer, so you can tell us and hopefully the company how creepy you think a product is. So it doesn't hurt to do a little bit of research just to familiarize yourself and say, oh, I didn't know that Garmin was actually probably a little better than Fitbit, for example. I was on the fence about which one to get because the other reviews for, you know, features and reliability were equal. But knowing that Garmin might be a little better at privacy, I'll lean that way.
Excellent. Jen, as usual, this is one of my favorite interviews to do because I learn so much, and I actually end up being a little bit more hopeful about the future because people like you are out there looking out for us. So thanks for this time.
Well, thank you. It means a lot because when you sit and read privacy policies all day for years on end and you just see things getting worse and worse and worse, you do have some existential crises about, does this matter or does anybody care? So I really appreciate that, those words.
All right.
So, folks, as you head out for Black Friday this weekend or the days that go up to Christmas, as you're shopping for those electronic devices and apps that you want to give for gifts or that you want to get for yourself, your first stop should be the Privacy Not Included website. It's privacynotincluded.org. And you can type in whatever device it is you're looking at. You can take a look at the review, but you can also find a guide as to what will make those devices more secure than they would be after you bought them out of the store, because the companies are sending them with set to the least secure settings possible, but there are things you can do. It's getting worse out there. The companies are deciding they don't want to be concerned about security. They're saying that's your responsibility. So that's what it is. Remember, they're trying to gather as much information as possible, and it's not necessarily to your benefit. So that's it this week for Cyber Protection Magazine's Crucial Tech. I'm your host, Lou Covey. If you have questions or concerns, you can reach us at cyberprotection-magazine.com, and we will get back to you if you have a question or a concern. It could end up becoming a story. Read the magazine. Get a subscription, because that's going to be coming this coming year. There will be lots of new content coming out that will not be generally available on the website, but only behind the paywall. And it's not going to be that expensive. And you may have some opportunities to get free subscriptions, depending on who you are doing business with. So that's it. I'm Lou Covey. This has been a Foot Washer Media production.